Christian is the man, the Christian is the woman who is always bringing the message of the King to his contemporaries.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
If we were to ask the Apostle Paul what man's first duty is in relation to the gospel, I think that he would probably say that his first duty is to believe it and then to receive it by faith. But his concern in this passage, verses 11 to 18, is not so much with the unbeliever's duty as it is with the duty of the Christian toward the gospel which he has already embraced by faith. We have a duty with respect to this message of the gospel. Now, we've already seen several things in this first chapter of 2 Timothy. For example, we have seen the messengers of the gospel, and they are described in verses 1 to 7. We saw the techniques by which God molds and fashions his messengers into all that he wants them to be. And then we look secondly beyond the messengers of the gospel in verses 1 to 7. We look secondly at the message of the gospel, and that is described in verses 8 to 10. We saw there the attitudes of the Christian messenger and the attributes of the Christian message, and I listed seven of those attributes a week ago. And now Paul turns our attention from the messengers of the gospel and the message of the gospel to what I would call the mandate of the gospel, certain ultimatums that he lays upon us, certain responsibilities toward which he directs us. And these are in verses 11 to 18. And in that section, he will illustrate the believer's relationship to this mighty message of the gospel here and now. We are taught in verse 10 that the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ and his mighty work on the cross has brought about an abolition of death. And in contrast to that, the scripture says that life and immortality have now been brought to light through the gospel. And I would suggest, on the basis of verses 11 to 18, of this first chapter of 2 Timothy, that there are three basic responsibilities prescribed for us by the Apostle Paul in that passage. Number one, he says, here's our first responsibility with respect to the gospel, Christians. One, you should spread it actively. That's what he says in verse 11. Unto which, that is, unto the gospel, I am appointed. What is he appointed? A preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. It was Paul's great privilege and great responsibility to spread the gospel actively. That's our first responsibility, to spread it actively. The second responsibility that he prescribes for us is in verse 12. And there, the responsibility is that we are to suffer for it bravely. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I suffer bravely. Verse 12. For I know whom I have believed. And then our final responsibility in this passage is that we are to safeguard it faithfully. And that's what he describes in verses 13 to 18. We are to be defenders of the gospel, and we are to preserve it by the grace of God from error. We are to proclaim its truth to those who so desperately need it. Now let's look for a moment at this first responsibility that God imposes upon us. And that is, the Bible says that we are to spread it actively. We have a responsibility to spread that message actively. And I think that's the burden of verse 11. Paul says, unto which I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, as I look at that verse, I see two things, verse 11, which kind of amplify this idea of spreading it actively. I see, first of all, Paul's commission, unto which I am appointed. I see, secondly, more specifically, Paul's calling. And he has a threefold calling. He is to be a preacher, he is to be an apostle, and he is to be a teacher. We'll look at those. First, Paul's commission. He says, unto which I am appointed. He's talking about the gospel. Last word of verse 10 is the gospel. Unto which I am appointed. Paul uses an emphatic word there, ego. He inserts it there in the Greek sentence. He says, unto which I. And he uses that emphatic expression, I believe, to emphasize his own sense of personal wonderment. To him, it was a thrilling thing to think that God had committed to his charge, to his stewardship, to his sense of responsibility, the privilege of taking this mighty message, which is unique on the face of the globe, and communicating it with so many other people who so desperately needed it. That was Paul's commission. But I want you to see Paul's calling very quickly here. It's in the latter part of verse 11, and he defines for us a little more precisely a threefold calling. Paul says that God has called me to be a preacher. Now, God has not called every one of us to be a preacher in the technical sense, but this is a beautiful word, this Greek word behind the English word preacher. Paul says he's called me to be a preacher. The emphasis there is on proclamation. He's called me to be an apostle. The emphasis there is on formulation. It was the apostles who formulated the message of the gospel and inscripturated it in the New Testament. And then he's called me to be a teacher, and the emphasis there is on edification, the building up, the edifying, the building up of the saints of God. That's the great function of teaching. Now he says he's called me to be a preacher. What does it mean to be a preacher? You know, this is a special word. Let me give you the word. The word is kerux, K-E-R-U-X. K-E-R-U-X, kerux, and it's translated here, preacher. It's used scores of times in the New Testament documents. And in the ancient world, that word kerux, which is translated preacher here, had three main lines of meaning. One, it was a court term. That is, it grew out of the context of the king's court. It was a court term. In the ancient world, the kerux, the preacher, was the herald, the messenger who brought the message from the king to the general populace. He was the man sent out by the king to announce a very important message to the general populace. Whenever a man was designated that responsibility, the term that was used to describe him was this word, kerux. He's a preacher. He was there to announce the message of a king. Secondly, this was not only a court term, growing out of the context of the king's court, but it was also a civil term. The kerux was the emissary, the appointed delegate, when two armies were opposed to each other, who brought to them the terms of truce and of peace. A kerux is a man who brings to warring factions the elements of truce and peace. And then there's a third use of this term in the ancient world. It was a court term. It was a civil term, and it was a commercial term. The kerux was the man whom a merchant employed to shout his wares and invite people in the marketplace to come and buy. Now, in any one of those three areas, a man who was designated with one or the other of those responsibilities was called a preacher. He was called a kerux. Now, what does that mean to you and I as Christians? It means to you and I as Christians that the Christian is the man. The Christian is the woman who is always bringing the message of the king to his contemporaries. We are always announcing to the world around us and to those in our world of influence the message of the king of the universe, his love for them, his view of them as sinners, his expression of love in the coming of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for them. We are announcing to the world, to our contemporaries, the message of the king. The Christian is the man who is always bringing the message of the king to his fellow men. The Christian is the man, is the woman who is always seeking to bring men into a relationship of peace with God. That was the function of the kerux, to take warring factions and to bring to them the terms of truce and of peace. And that's exactly what you and I are to do. We're to be that kind of a Christian witness. We're to spread actively the message of the gospel as a preacher would, as a kerux would. You know, there are some who need to experience God's peace. It may be that your most desperate need is to have the peace of God. We want you to know that that peace is wrapped up exclusively and absolutely in a personal and vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be brought into a personal, vital union through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll experience God's peace. And God's peace is never simply the absence of turmoil. God's peace is always the presence of all that makes for a man's highest good in this life and in the life to come. In a word, it is the presence of Jesus Christ himself as he takes up residence within you. That's the great function of a Christian. The great function of a Christian as a preacher, of a herald, of a kerux, is one, to bring to his contemporaries the announcements of the king. Two, to lay out for them the terms of peace through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Christian is the man The Christian is the woman who calls out to his fellow men to accept the rich offer which God is making to them, as a merchant employs a carax, a herald, a messenger, announcer, to shout out his wares and to invite people to come and purchase them. That's exactly what we're to do. We are to invite people to receive the rich offer that God makes to them through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whenever the carax spoke, there were always two characteristics which attached themselves to his voice. One, there was always in his voice a ring of certainty. And that's what people in our day and age need. Nothing is certain. Nothing is absolute. This is the age of doubt. This is the age of the relativity of truth. We need men and women who are certain, who have the absolute certainty of faith. And they've built their lives upon the solid foundation of the message of Jesus Christ revealed in the pages of Scripture. There was always in his voice a ring of certainty. Tell me of your certainties, modern man is saying. I have doubts enough of my own. And we can bring them the certain message that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and he will be their Savior if they will by faith receive him. And then there was in the voice of the carax not only the ring of certainty, but the ring of authority. Because he brings to the world not his own message. His source of authority is higher than himself. It's a source beyond himself. He brings the message of the King. And that's what you and I bring. We bring the message of the King. And the message we bring is never a dead message. The message of the Word of God. God has acted. God has spoken. God has written in the sphere of history. He has a written revelation. It's the Bible, the Word of God. And what God has spoken in that revelation, he continues to speak. It is alive. It is pulsating. It's dynamic. The Scripture is never a dead letter. It liveth and abideth forever. It's quick and powerful, the Bible says. It continues to speak, unchanging, vital, and present truth. It is not a faint echo of the distant past, smelling strongly of the mold of libraries. The Bible is not a kind of museum in which God's Word is exhibited behind glass like a relic or a fossil. On the contrary, the Bible, the message the carax proclaims, the gospel message, the message of the Bible is a living word to a living people from a living God. It is a contemporary message to a contemporary world, and it meets the needs of all who will by faith receive it. Paul says, I have been appointed by God to be a preacher, a carax. I bring the message of the King. I bring the terms of peace between warring factions. I invite people to receive the richest offer they could ever have. That was the very essence of the meaning of that word. You may not stand behind a pulpit in the formal sense of the term and be a preacher in that sense, but every one of us, through faithful witness and loyal proclamation of the gospel, can fulfill the implications of that word. We can be a preacher in the truest sense of the term.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
What is there in the gospel which men hate and oppose, and on account of which those who preach it must suffer?
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.